Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:21. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Hi FM. And keeping a very, very close eye on what is happening in South Africa in terms of the response to the meeting at the White House last week. Crime very much on the agenda, a shift from genocide of white farmers to crime in general. Well, what does this mean? Is the South African government able to face it and hold that mirror up close? Mandy Wiener is a journalist, author, and media specialist. Mandy, great to chat to you. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Hope you're well too.
I am indeed. So, Mandy, it's been very interesting to see the reaction, not only from media, but actually the South African government as well. What is your overall impression of how South Africans have responded to that meeting?
So what I've been struck by, Howard, is how varied the response has been. There are some people, and I suppose it depends on your political position and how you feel about Ramaphosa and the ANC government in general. But I think it's been so varied. So the sense that I've been getting from people is that some people think we did an excellent job. We were able to reset the relationship. Other people thinking that all we managed to achieve was to tell the world about how terrible the crime rate is in general in South Africa, that we don't have a white genocide problem. We have a rural crime problem and we have a crime problem in general. From the people I've been speaking to who were involved in the preparations and who are in the presidency and who are part of the delegation, they're all saying that they felt that it was successful, that they were able to change that narrative, they were able to get the message through. And ultimately, what they wanted to achieve was a resetting of the relationship and a potential trade deal and getting Trump to South Africa for the G20, and they achieved that.
So do we know what the position with AGOA is yet, or is that still to be determined?
As I understand it, it's still to be determined. What we do know is that South Africa did put a trade deal on the table. I spoke to John Steenhuisen, the Minister of Agriculture, yesterday, and he spoke about the fact that we did put this trade deal on the table. We made some concessions. They made some concessions. It hasn't been finalized. But we know that Trump is transactional, right? And that's ultimately what he wanted to achieve was a trade deal. It includes us buying gas from the U.S., the U.S. buying a certain number of motor vehicles from South Africa. And it's important that we were able to get that deal through. The trade between the two countries, they are second biggest trading partner, $21 billion worth of trade. There are 600 U.S. companies invested in South Africa. So really important that we do find a solution to that.
Absolutely. Well, because as you say, Trump is transactional, but we need to be as well. And I think that's half of the problem, is that we've allowed so many issues to confuse us along the way, resulting in the fact that we're not a particularly attractive country in many ways for foreign companies to invest in. We need to get back to being a little bit more transactional. No one's saying give up the unique spirit and the the values that South Africa stands for, but surely we need to put South Africans on high on the agenda.
Look, if the GNU government is going to be successful, the measure is on growth, and they've targeted 3% growth and growing.
Mm. Oh, Mandy, I think that you have put yourself on mute.
I have. I'm so sorry about that.
It's like 2020 all over again.
I know, right? It was my key. So I do think that we're going to have to create jobs, and we're going to have to grow the economy. And to do that, we're going to have to deal with our crime problem. We're going to have to make South Africa more attractive, and we're going to need to get foreign direct investment. That's going to have to happen.
What do you think about Malema and the way he was portrayed, the way he's reacted to it? Is that ultimately damage? Well, is it more damaging to the country or to him?
Probably to the country. I think to him, it's great PR. I think it appeals to his base. I think he's definitely played to his base. He's been able to target Johan Rupert's white monopoly capital. John Steenhuisen also saying, I think he referred to them as the rebel. And this is exactly why the DA is in the GNU, because of the alternative. And that is a coalition with the EFF or MK. So I think for Malema, it's been fantastic for him.
Yeah. And in terms of Starlink, the fact that the triple BEE, well, it the requirements for Starlink seem to be relaxed. Is that something that we can expect to see more of now?
Well, Solly Malatsi, the Minister of Communication, is in Parliament today. He's going to be explaining that to us. There's two ways to look at that, Howard. The one is that, you know, once we start relaxing employment equity requirements, the edifice will crumble, right? So it's going to be very difficult to make an exemption for one and not for others. The other way, of course, is to say, well, we really do need Starlink. Like Johan Rupert made this great point about the fact that if we had Starlink in every single police station in the country, it would make it so much easier, particularly in rural areas, for people to deal with crime. So I do think that it may very well be necessary.
And as you said, the whole, you know, certainly something I'm hoping for, that's just a personal view, is that it does start to chip away at this requirement. It's interesting that I think it was Kosatu that came out and to say that they're very unhappy with us, but at the same time, surely it's really important that this is something that is looked at in terms of the success for South Africans.
Well, I think that the government realizes that it's going to have to make itself more attractive if we're going to see growth and investment, and we need to appeal to companies like Starlink to be able to invest in South Africa. So I do think that, you know, for Kosatu, of course, they're going to be, you know, vociferously against this. Zingiswa Losi, the president of Kosatu, also in the White House, in the Oval Office, getting an opportunity to speak. And that also is indicative of the influence still of the tripartite alliance and the ANC's proximity to Labour. So that is a voice that I think we can't ignore either, because it still is very influential.
Finally, the fact that they seem to have had a very deliberate strategy in the United States not to publicly address South Africa's ICJ case, I thought was very, very interesting. One journalist asked the question, Trump brushed it away, and it just didn't become the focus. What do you think that was about?
So I'm told the same thing happened in the lunch as well, the closed lunch, where a question was asked about the ICJ case, and Trump was quite dismissive of it again. And he was like, oh, well, you know, if there's a judgment, there's a judgment. I was very surprised by that. I thought that was really the thing that was underpinning this entire position against South Africa. I thought that really what Trump wanted to achieve was the dropping of the ICJ case. So when my colleague Clement Bagnatella asked that question, I was quite surprised that Trump was so dismissive of it. And maybe that speaks to the relationship between Trump and Netanyahu currently, and the fact that he wasn't too focused on that. He was really speaking to his own base about white genocide and conservative white right-wing Americans. And that was the appeal of the entire kind of spectacle in the White House.
Well, and the way in which I looked at it, which is not totally dissimilar, is by dismissing it and by not making it a feature, he didn't allow South Africa to use it as an excuse to say, well, everything Trump says is actually about Israel. It's not about South Africa. Israel wasn't on the agenda. It was about South Africa. Had the ICJ been a much bigger focus, we would have seen our media in particular in South Africa and social media saying, you see, it's actually got nothing to do. It's actually all about Trump's friend Israel. So I thought it was a particularly smart thing to do, because he kept the conversation focused where it should be. Mandy Wiener, thank you. Great to chat to you. It is where we do need to leave it. It is 8:31. We're a little bit late for news headlines. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.